שלום, אנחנו נקרא קטעים נבחרים מהמקורות בנושא
תפילה. Hello, we're going to read selected excerpts on the topic of prayer. We'll continue with excerpt number 17.
ציטוט מספר 17 מתוך
excerpt number 17 from Rabash, article What is, do not add and do not take away in the work. One must believe above reason and imagine that he has already been rewarded with faith in the Creator that is felt in his organs, and he sees and feels that the Creator leads the entire world as the good who does good. Although, when he looks within reason, he sees the opposite, he should still work above reason. And it should appear to him as though he can already feel it in his organs that so it really is, that the Creator leads the world as the good who does good. Hence, here he acquires the importance of the goal, and from here he derives life, meaning joy at being near the Creator. Then, a person can say that the Creator is good and does good, and feel that he has the strength to tell the Creator, You have chosen us from among all nations. You have loved us and wanted us. Since he has a reason to thank the Creator. And to the extent that he feels the importance of spirituality, so he establishes the praise of the Creator. Once one has come to feel the importance of spirituality, which is called one should always establish the praise of the Creator and then pray, then is the time when he must shift to the left line. He must criticize how he truly feels within reason the importance of the King, if he is truly willing to work only for the sake of the Creator. When he sees within reason that he is bare and destitute, that state, when he sees the importance of spirituality, but only above reason, that calculation can create in him deficiency and pain for being in utter lowliness. Then he can make a heartfelt prayer for what he lacks.
What's the difference between the present feeling, suppose when I'm not above reason, and I try to imagine to myself that I am nonetheless I'm feeling the greatness and the importance of the Creator? The difference between that and me truly being in the feeling of the greatness and the importance of the Creator. Is that okay? Clear? No? Okay. I may feel that the Creator is probably important and great, however, I don't have it. When I examine myself, I'm not full with this feeling. Between that and a true feeling, when I feel full and grand with the whole world feels his glory, and where did they write it from? They probably felt it. So, the difference between only thinking about it, depicting it, thinking, imagining it, and that, and between me feeling it.
Okay?
So, act a little bit, in reason, above reason, try. Try to awaken these vessels inside us a little bit. Maybe since the creation of the world, they haven't been in use. We're all dormant. So go ahead. When you'll start talking, you'll see that you have what to say. And even if it's not correct, doesn't matter, you nonetheless awaken it.
The first state is that you really don't have this in the feeling, and the environment may be telling you what an important man. And I try to acquire what the environment is talking about. Maybe the situation above it is when I tasted some of it, something of it, but it's still not completely.
It's possible that you receive it for as a gift for a certain time, and then later you have to attain it on your own.
In the beginning, it's really within reason, and then it disappears, and then you have to acquire it from the environment and the society above the will to receive.
The way what I grasped was the first question. That when I don't have the greatness of the Creator in my life, it's very simple. I'm just like every person in this world, and even worse. When I do have the greatness of the Creator in my life, doesn't matter what you go through, you have the right attitude to things. Meaning you're always looking at everything through the group. Your view is that there's the Creator. He's the one doing. He's behind all these actions. You're much more adhered to the goal when you have the greatness of the Creator in reality.
Yeah, to continue what he said, as the year passes and you go deeper into this concept of the Creator, you see that you can't grasp any of it. What we do have, and that you can check, is your relation to the friend, to the 10, how much you're worried about them, how much you care about them, how much you annul yourself before them. Maybe this is my ability to get closer to this thing called love of the Creator, and that you have it or don't have it, I guess you have to work on the clear, not on the light.
When a person doesn't have the feeling of the greatness of the Creator, he needs his friends to create it for him.
I understand the question as a person feeling or thinking that the Creator is great and understands it, but doesn't feel it, and another time he feels it in practice. And what's the difference between these states? I think it's in the first state, you have to create the fuel for the work, kind of for yourself. The work is important to you, and you have to create the fuel. And in the other state, you are given it from above because you feel that the Creator is great, so it forces you to ask.
There's something wondrous about creation, the way the Creator takes care of the created beings, the way He makes them grow. There's a mechanism that makes them evolve. If a person has a question or a problem, it's a wonderful joy when it clicks and he is able to solve this problem. Here, this is never solved because you always discover that the quality of bestowal is way ahead of you. So on the one hand, you're pretty sad about you not being there yet. On the other hand, you're happy because you have a goal. You have where to tune yourself to. Every time you understand that the whole is bigger and you have more work to do, more corrections to correct, but there's a verse that in between, the slave becomes wiser out of these exercises the Creator gives us. So we have to be happy because we're on the trail.
If I still don't feel it, then I have to acquire a new feeling that there is something more important, which is bestowal above self-reception. That it's greater than receiving from me. On the other hand, if I have a measure of gadlut, greatness, to come and feel that the Creator is even greater than what I felt now, that's a different type of effort.
Maybe we can take out of it that the first type, as you say, is the it's like the previous degree. So we have to reach them with such a type of importance of the Creator. Only when we're ready, seemingly, we can move on in this work.
I don't really know what to say. That you have to acquire it through the environment. The greatness of the Creator that comes to a person isn't really the greatness of the Creator. You want to get something out of it. Then the greatness of the Creator, the true one, is through the environment.
Rav, what's the difference between me depicting or imagining the greatness of the Creator and me accepting or receiving the greatness of the Creator above reason? Work inside with all these discernments, emotions.
The imagination is still the will to receive, and above reason is already vessels of bestowal, in which a person can get the greatness of the Creator. It's a grip for him on the way.
Maybe it's about where my fuel comes from. In the first step, the fuel is inside. I think that I will attain the Creator. I will. At some point, you shift to the second kind of fuel, which is only if the environment gives you strength, if your tent gives you strength. Meaning the first kind of the greatness of a Creator helps a person run in the beginning. The second depends on the ten.
And the imagination is like a kite. And above reason, it should be a building of two levels. The first level with a huge ego that pulls you to corporeality. And then on the second floor, it's what you build together with friends.
Yes. Above reason is when there is something against, when my will to receive does not support it, but still, it forces me to go above reason, and the imagination probably serves my will to receive.
It's clear that above reason I have to acquire another reason, another view, and appreciate it more than my own, and that's difficult. I could say that imagination is being a kite or some kind of quieting of the will to receive or a momentary satisfaction, but I guess there's something to it too, because you have to imagine something and see that it's not the truth and you're not in it, and then you look for the truth. That too wasn't created for no reason.
Yes, even though in the imagination there is development, the kite too is in the will to receive. And it seems that the second stage is only the restriction. It's not in the will to receive. The real greatness is, real gadlut is above the restriction and the screen.
I'm adding to what you're saying. The imagination is only what's inside of me. It develops, well, I don't know, it's up to me how much it develops, but above reason certainly develops. It depends on the environment. It's the view of the environment, and it's what we learn and everything.
In reason is in the imagination. When you stroll around and you think maybe it's this way, maybe it's that way, that way, but it dissolves, it's gone to you like water into the sand. But above all, there's a ten that everything exists there, and the only question is how much can you annul to the ten?
Yeah, it adds a lot. To live in the imagination is unrealistic because it's not grounded. There is no real grip on this, and certainly no spirituality. But it's good as a for the purpose of the exercise. To live above reason, you have to live in the ten, build a kli out of it, and really...
Rav, so which exercises can we determine between us, if we can at all, in order to come closer to above reason, to the second story, second floor of the perception of reality? Meaning it's the perception of reality, however, it's not in the will to receive, rather it's in the will to bestow. So how can we come closer to this? Somehow to do exercises, to try to hasten our development towards this? Please.
I think this is the place where the ten sets rules for itself. And we, as pieces of the ten, are busy trying to keep up with these laws, and then we discover we are powerless to do it. And then we connect to the friends and take the strength to do it from them. For example, this week I was a gabai. And it's a real project to be. You have to, to give a lineup for every Zoom meeting, and there was a mess at work. So you discover that one, you have a huge obligation to do it. There's no question whether you do it or not. But then you say, "Heck, I don't want to do it." But you take strength from the friends, and you do it, and you do it. But the truth is that the power of the tenth. I have to say it, although it's connected to the previous question. The power of the ten is much greater than this kite. It takes a while to understand it, but the power of the friends is immense. It's much more than the initial power I had.
Exercise. Always be with a group, with whatever it does, detached of your feelings and the thoughts.
Everything that has to do with bringing the hearts closer.
Trying to think about these exercises that whenever you don't feel like doing it, you put a coin in the box. But it's much more than that. It's a scrutiny of truth and false and bitter and sweet, and we need a lot of strength from the friends, justification and confidence. Because we're going into a place our ego doesn't always agree to go. You have to count on your friends and your teacher and Kabbalists and also the Creator that will help us in order for our way to be a success.
Right. And to add that love isn't something that stops, but there's always room to add, and it'll always be through effort. For this, we work on the connection between us to strengthen each other, because the will to receive will always justify the opposite.
Yeah, I also think like Itai, that whatever brings us closer, whatever brings us to a collision of views and common works, we have to overcome it.
Each day Rav gives us many, many exercises. We implement a small portion of it. The question is, to what extent these exercises go by us, and to what extent we try to do it. Even now, the example of to try to feel this place of within reason, above reason, the greatness of the Creator, etc. There are exercises all the time. The question is, what's the power that we have to really implement them among us?
Rav, so what's the difference between feeling the greatness of the Creator or imagining the greatness of the Creator? What's the difference?
Dabro.
Talk.
It is, in describing the greatness of the Creator, I don't have a fuel. I have a certain image that I think it is, and I can really want to be in it. To feel the greatness of the Creator gives you the fuel. And in practice, you see that even if the group decides things and goes in a direction that is contradictory to you, you still have the strength to follow it and go above everything that the will to receive tells you is true. And you go the opposite. You don't follow your will to receive, you follow the desire of the group. And that's only a result of the greatness of the Creator.
Yes, there's a lot of energy in following the friends. And in reason, I can tell you a lot of good and nice stories, but it's only stories. The friends give you practical strength to do the work. I don't know, things we do today in the 10, I don't know how we can do them without the 10. If someone would tell me 2 or 3 years ago that we're doing what we're doing today, I wouldn't think we could stand it. But here we are doing it. So I don't know.
In Shemati 72, confidence is a clothing for the light. It says that when the light of life shines to a person, he has superhuman powers.
What's the difference between imagining and feeling? I don't know.
The matter, the greatness of the Creator, on one hand, points out the goal and gives us strength to advance. On the other hand, there's a risk in it. It's as if you're working for this reward. And this is what you want to get as a reward. So it gives you fuel. It's as if, and then if the Creator is revealed, it completely cancels you.
Rav, how will it help us if from today on we'll start acting as if we are acknowledging the greatness of the Creator, feeling the greatness of the Creator, that it's really in us, it fills us. We're impressed of it. We're activated as a result of it. So, how, if this is true, how can we exist? Well, when it's not real, but that's the way we want it to happen. Let's act it. Go ahead. What will the changes be in our lives?
It'll allow us to go in to the playground of love of friends and not stay in the imagination, to make an effort without giving up and add more each day.
For sure, we're going to have changes. If you're a part of a certain game, you're incorporated in it. You just go in and there's no choice. You cannot not be in it. The main thing is to search for the right game. What abilities should we develop for each other?
I think the changes will be in how we decipher the states we go through, so we don't decipher them just like that out of the will to receive and go on another day and month by month and then who knows what. But rather we'll start seeing everything from the angle of the Creator covers everything and fills up and helps and relate to reality in this way.
Rav, how to have this, along with this game, how can we raise man? What are we still lacking? Let's say we're acting as if the Creator is revealed and we're all on this cloud where He's revealed, and how along with this acting, when we want it to be this way, we can also raise a deficiency, a chisaron, for it to really happen, as raising a man. How will then we behave to each other? Go ahead.
The whole game is a tool that changes our lives all the time. It allows us to look at the situation we're in and act out the desirable state. The gap between the two is what builds our prayer, our chisaron. And it doesn't matter, even if you're seemingly acting and it's seemingly an imagination, it builds a chisaron. And then we can get what we want.
קודם בא לי כזאת תמונה שכל לילה אתם קמים באמצע הלילה, באים לשיעור.
Previously I got this picture that every night you wake up and you come in the middle of the night you're coming. Why do you come? Because you love the Creator. And you have this desire to resemble him, and this makes me very envious.
How do we make it? How do we add to it the raising of man? I think the fact that we do it toward each other, we are connected to the group, to the Rav, to the Kabbalists. This will be the result that the light will do in us as a result of our efforts.
There are many benefits in acting because you can have the sermon stories regarding the desired state. Then you see it's not the place you're in, and you know what to ask for. On the other hand, you have to make sure that you know it's a game. Because a game can be a dangerous thing. You can start being, if you don't know it's a game, you can start being proud about yourself, and it can also detain us. So we have to make sure that the fruit of this game will be a prayer, a request for the Creator, from the Creator, to show us and enable a change in us. And to realize it so we don't stay stuck in it.
The game is also according to the result, the desirable result.
Rav, what am I missing while picturing myself in this feeling of the greatness of the Creator? Still, what am I missing? Am I missing some fact? What am I missing? For it to be called raising the man, rather than the ego, when I want the facts, I want it to be revealed. Talk.
I guess, again, it's in the external result, so it doesn't go into my clay where I'm happy with the situation and the friends, and with how much the friends have contentment, and as the result, the contentment that the Creator gets in it and that He is in this clay.
I think maybe there's an addition to this game when I wanted to act on the friends. And this will be my prayer. This is the addition. It's not important for me what I feel, what I accept or don't accept in my practical feeling, but I really want the friends to get it the way it should be, for them to be impressed and to live in it. Then it will be a prayer with this accompanying this game, and it won't be egoistic.
What I'm missing is the purpose of the game. What's the result I want to get out of this game? That in another minute it'll go into my vessels and I'll feel the presence of the Creator and I'll feel great. Or I want it for His purpose without any benefit for me, and this is what I want to keep, and that's the reward.
I need a few discernments. A few sharp discernments. One is that my whole life depends on this game, on the result of it. Inability to tolerate the present state and a necessity to move on to a state of me acting, the state I'm acting. And I don't know, in general, changes come when a person can't stand his present state. But rather, he must have something higher than what he currently has. Then he can reach a prayer. And
So what am I asking of the Creator in a situation where I ask with all my might to live off of the greatness of the Creator? If He is revealed, it'll be within reason. So what am I missing? What should I ask? What do I ask?
If the only important thing is to bestow, and to bestow to the environment, and the ten, I need the strength to act, that the Creator will give me the force to act it out towards you, that I have it, no matter what I really have in my will to receive.
What's missing is the desire to bestow like the light,
for it to be revealed in others.
I think that the place of the work should be revealed. So we will understand that the work and the path is the reward. We don't need anything to be revealed, so it satisfies our will to receive, and we will be resting on the laurels. The right way is a person constantly correcting himself, bringing himself closer to the Creator, and that's the reason for living.
Asking to bestow all the way. So God forbid we won't fall into this being filled and stuck there. And then you don't care about the child because you yourself are full.
To continue what Eyal started, you asked that it'll work correctly on the friends, that they'll be impressed in the right direction, to be a good environment for them.
This morning we read that a person, the Creator tests a person if he really has a desire for him. Always doing these exercises. So I guess the feeling is that the Creator will give you above all these exercises to hold on to this game.
What does it mean to ask above reason and above the ego? What's to ask above the ego here? When I picture my life and the whole world as being under the control of the Creator to the fullest. Yeah? And I want to live in this way. How do I ask to be in this way above my ego? Go ahead. Bit by bit, step by step. Go ahead.
I know, if I look at the things, so it's clear to me that above reason, the way I imagine it, it's all in the will to receive. So it's not really above reason. Asking out of above reason, for that you need a restriction over the desire. You already need a masach sitting on this desire. I don't know. All these things are, to the extent that you're devoted to your ten, you can go through these processes. And you can live above without any calculation about your desire, and then you can say it's a real prayer.
Right. It's where my importance is. If what's important to me is for you to discover it and have it, and I have confidence in the ten, as I once said before, that this is the right place to be in, with this confidence and importance, I am suddenly directed toward the goal, and I can come out of myself.
We're helping each other to establish a scrutiny. We would like the light to make us with His desire, not the initial desire we have, the will to receive. We want to be in the will to bestow like Him. That's more noble. That's the truth of reality.
Right. Anything you ask of yourself begins and ends in your ego. So I guess all that's left is to ask the light to change you.
Rav, am I asking to be in the will to bestow or to be in the will to bestow above the will to receive? And what's the difference between these two requests? What's the difference between asking to be in the will to bestow or to be in the will to bestow above the will to receive?
A very big difference. Being in the will to receive, just being in the will to receive is like complaining to the Creator about how He made me. And otherwise, it's a recognition that the Creator allows me to develop some volume, to understand the process, understand Him, understand what is bestowal, which consists of reception too.
Yes, that in the end it's to receive in order to bestow. The goal is to do good to the created beings. So for Him to cancel the purpose of creation, for that you have to be not only just in bestowal.
I also think it's recognition and gratitude for everything you receive from the Creator. Now you have to add the desire to bestow without canceling everything that anything that was created.
When a person doesn't know that in the vessels of the will to receive, he's shown opposite pictures. If a person really wants to follow, he doesn't care about anything, just to get dvikut, adhesion.
Give me the desire to bestow. I don't know. I think because, and that's how we learn everywhere on our method, bestowing is above the will to receive. It's the ability to use the will to receive differently. And you have to have a tzimtzum, a restriction on the will to receive. Otherwise, it can't be in order to bestow.
It's as if these two stories we were talking about previously, the two floors. On the one hand, I justify the Creator for everything He did in my will to receive. On the other hand, we decide that we want to resemble the light. And then, above this thing, I want the force to resemble the light along with you. It's a true difference between the kite we were talking and the practical side. It's the two sides of the questions.
The will to bestow by itself is an angel. It's not a Kabbalist. A Kabbalist, the Creator cuts him up with scissors, opens him more and more and more, and turns him into both ends. Sends him to both ends.
It seems to me that the request is the same. It's just that if you're asking only to bestow, it's as if you want to be in the will to bestow above the will to receive, there is a certain addition when you don't want to erase anything, as Bois said previously, being in the recognition that it all comes from the Creator and being thankful about it. But it seems to me that regarding the request, it's the same.
If you look at contentment, then the Creator gets no contentment from the creature wanting to bestow. If he works with both kelim, the will to receive and the intention to bestow, then he wants to use what the Creator gave him in order to please Him. He wants to receive in the corrected way. He wants to complete what the Creator wanted to create, a created being that receives and recognizes the greatness of the giver.
Rav, how do we maintain the balance between our desire and the request for being above the desire? I am in my desire, and I always picture the Creator controlling with His greatness, controlling everyone, myself and everyone else. How do I maintain these two emotions inside me? If I'll only be attaching myself to the greatness of the Creator, and that's all, I'm not there, it's like an angel. It's the force of bestowal, maybe, if you can say so. But it's without the force of reception, so it's spirituality without corporeality, it's ruach. It's like spirit. But if I'm in the will to receive, it's corporeality, it's in Hebrew rain, from the word rain. So how do I maintain the balance between the two? Go ahead. It's the last question.
First of all, it was set up for us in such a way that it's not simple to get detached from the will to receive. So that kite had a hard time doing this. But the best way is to work in the 10. Everything that you feel, every calculation is done through the 10. Not thoughts that I thought this or that. It's all through the 10.
I don't know how to maintain the balance because it's a field of uncertainty, and I don't know my will to receive all the way because it constantly grows. And so all I have is a request. I want to balance something that's always added and growing, except for this gain. To try to be in this balance, I don't know.
It seems to me that when I want this reality that I experience, I don't just experience in the will to receive, but constantly through the 10, I grasp it correctly. So every state that comes, you grab it and you attach it to the Creator. You grab it and attach it to the Creator. So you receive it correctly. And then you have the balance where you're neither here nor there.
How to maintain the balance? I don't know. It's as if with the will to receive, I don't have a lot to do with it. It's always going to be there. You have to increase your deficiency all the time. This happens, first of all, by our work in the 10. By the exertion for connection, it builds you a chisaron. You can also see as the greater you have a chisaron, the greater will to receive you're getting. You don't have to think about increasing your will to receive. It will grow on its own. You have to think about bestowal.
Yeah, but there's the transition. You have to constantly transfer from the will to receive to the Creator's domain and want to be a giver to you. It's like a never-ending trail. And the Creator will constantly increase the will to receive, and I have to attribute it to Him.
Also, like Akoka and Itai, who previously said, I don't understand what's our place in maintaining the balance. Thank God the Creator always inflates our aviyut, our coarseness. He does His work very well. Our thing is to develop the will to bestow.
Seems to me like the balance is obtained by exerting to be in dvikut with the 10, the group, the teacher, the books.
Rav, how can I draw the will to receive to the will to bestow? And how, in other states, do I draw the will to bestow to the will to receive?
I don't know. Maybe every time we read something or talk about it, the will to receive feels how bad it is and asks for correction. Maybe that's called pulling the will to receive toward bestowal. And the rest, out of a state of bestowal, it's only intellectually. You understand that if you really want to bestow, you have to receive in order to bestow. So the form of reception has to be correct by recognizing the greatness of the giver and wanting to please Him. But that other part, the part of the recognition of evil, you feel it better and more clearly.
If we treat the will to receive like a donkey, then just like you take care of a beast, you have to pull it with envy and demand the tent to take care of it as the way it should, so that it will always want the goal. And this affecting the will to receive is all the actions we do together. What we're doing is drawing light.
I don't really know what it means to pull toward them in two directions. Maybe we have to give all our energy to acquiring the desire to bestow, so it balances everything we have in how we receive everything.
I have no idea how to do such a thing. It's as if the will to receive, maybe the moment there is a certain kind of despair, despairs, you are actually trying to pull the will to bestow. And actually, when you have the strength and the Creator is helping you, you're trying to pull the will to receive. You want to help it when you have a certain amount of strength.
If I have a desire to bestow, and to bring it to the will to receive means to find chances where you can bestow it. It's always on top of the will to receive, the ability to bestow. And if I'm in the will to receive, then emerging to the desire to bestow means to invest in the will to bestow, to do everything to make it the most important thing in my life until you can go above the will to receive and prefer giving to receiving.
I don't exactly know what it means to pull one to the other, but I do know that every day you just have to try to come closer to you. I don't know. It's
okay. Rav, moving on to the next part of the lesson, okay?
Okay, so we're going to go on with the second part of the lesson with the article Peace in the World, Bala Sulam's article Peace in the World. It's on page 145 in the writings of Bala Sulam.
Volume
1. And the title is The Four Attributes